We move now to the third approach to leadership study. We have noticed the trait approach and the behavioral approach, and now we will consider the power-influence approach to leadership study. It has been said that the essence of leadership is influence over followers, and certainly that statement contains some powerful truth. But we also know that the influence process goes in both directions, for not only do leaders influence followers, but followers also influence leaders. There's probably more confusion about influence processes than about any other facet of leadership. Terms such as influence, power, and authority have been used in different ways by different leadership researchers. Influence is a term that everyone seems to understand. In general terms, influence is merely the effect of one party, the agent, over another party, the target. The process by which the agent can affect the target can take many different forms. The influence may be over people, things, or events. In the case of people, the influence may be over attitudes, perceptions, behavior, or even combinations of these. The consequences of the agent's influence may be what was intended, or it may produce something entirely unintended. Influence can have one of three different outcomes. Number one, there could be commitment. The target person internally agrees with the request from the agent and makes a great effort to carry out the request or the decision. That's commitment. The second outcome could be compliance. The target is willing to do what the agent asks, but is apathetic rather than enthusiastic about it, and will make only a minimal effort. The agent has influenced the target person's behavior, but not the target person's attitude. For a complex, difficult task, compliance is clearly a less successful outcome than commitment. But for a simple routine request, compliance may be all that is necessary to accomplish the task. So there may be commitment, there may be compliance, and the third outcome, there may be resistance. This is the least successful outcome of the influence process. This means that the target person is opposed to the request or the decision rather than being merely indifferent about it, and therefore actively tries to avoid carrying it out. The target person may respond by making excuses about why the request cannot be carried out. They may try to persuade the agent to withdraw the request. They may ask a higher authority to overrule the agent's request. They may delay acting and hope that the agent will forget the request. They may make a pretense of trying to fulfill the request, while at the same time actually sabotaging the request. They may outwardly even refuse to carry out the request. So influence can have one of these three different outcomes, either commitment, compliance, or resistance. Closely associated with the word influence is the word power. Power generally refers to an agent's capacity to influence a target person. This influence may involve only the behavior, or it may reach higher and involve influence over their attitude as well. Thus, we could define power as the influence that an agent has over the attitude and behavior of one or more target persons. There are many different sources of power within organizations. Some of these sources of power would include the following. Number one, there is the power of position. Here, the agent's power is derived from having and holding a place of control and authority within the organization. This control can involve formal authority, control over resources, control over punishment and rewards, or control over information. The power of position. The second source of power is identified as the power of interpersonal relationships. This power involves friendship, loyalty, and are the leader's charismatic qualities. The power of interpersonal relationships. And then the third source of power could be identified as the power of political processes. This is known as political power within the organization. This power depends upon political processes such as control of key decisions, forming coalitions, decisions and policy making, and so forth. This power is found in one who has influence over the movers and the shakers in the organization. In order to understand the effectiveness of a leader, it's necessary to consider several types of power relationships. We actually find in an organizational situation that there can be five different types of power relationships that can exist simultaneously. Number one, the downward power of the leader over his subordinates. Number two, the upward power of the subordinate to his leader. Number three, the upward power of the leader to his superiors. Number four, the lateral power of the leader to his equals. And number five, the downward power of the superiors over the leader. Power is respected when the person holding and exercising the power is perceived as the legitimate holder of power in that organization. Power can be organizationally exercised in several ways. For example, there can be, number one, what is referred to as reward power. Reward power resides in a person who has control over my work. Reward power is found in that one who can actually bring benefit to me through and by virtue of his position. This type of power is evident in that one who has influence over compensation and career progress. This is reward power. And then a second way that power can be organizationally exercised is known as coercive power. This power resides in that one who has control over punishment. If this type of power is a major tactic within the organization, then it must be concluded that the leadership within that organization has some definite problems. It's a leadership of weakness if coercive power is what must be used. There is a third type of organizationally exercised power, and it is known as information power. The one who controls the flow of information has power. As we've already seen in previous studies, knowledge is power. And then a fourth type of power that can exist and be exercised organizationally is known as expert power. Expert power resides in that person who has special abilities, special knowledge that is needed by the group. And a fifth type of organizationally exercised power is known as referent power. This resides in that one who has great respect within the organization. The targets respond because of admiration, respect, and loyalty. Friendship, concern, consideration, and trust are major concepts found in referent power. So these five different ways that power can be organizationally exercised. We also understand, as we think about power and influence, that power in leadership can be misused and misapplied. We find that some would seek to maintain power through persuasion. Some seek to maintain power through manipulation. They use guilt. They use shame. They use ignorance. They use threats, or even belittling humor and ridicule. We now move to the fourth approach of leadership study. Consider the situational approach to leadership study. The emphasis of this approach is upon the importance of situational factors in leadership, such as the leader's authority, the nature of the work performed by the group, subordinates' ability and motivation, the nature of the external environment, and the role requirements imposed on the leader by subordinates, peers, superiors, and outsiders. The understanding of this approach to leadership study is that leadership is a complicated, multifaceted topic. There are many things that must be put into the formula for an adequate understanding of leadership theory. How a leader becomes a leader is a complex process. From present information, it would seem that we can say the following is involved in leadership development. Number one, the development of leadership involves group activity. By definition, we would say that a group is two or more individuals working together to achieve common goals whereby needs are being met. This definition reveals that there are three basic essentials for a group. First, there must be interaction. This means that there must be involvement with one another, or there's no group. The second essential involves common goals. This means there must be a common end for which each member of the group is laboring. There must be a reason for this group to exist. Then the third essential for a group is the needs of group members are being met. A person associates with a specific group because some need is being fulfilled in his life by that group association. Now, there are certain things involved in the development of group activity. These certain things would include the following. Number one, the establishment of goals. This is what we want to do. Number two, the forming of plans for the achieving of goals. Number three, the implementing of the plans. Number four, the establishment of a system of policy making as well as decision making to assure the continuation of progress for the group. Number five, internal controls must be established. Number six, proper communication must be practiced. Number seven, evaluation must be done. And then number eight, there must be a motivator to keep things going. Thus, leaders get to be leaders because in a formal or an informal way, they are able to perform what is expected by the group. If the person ceases to help the group function, they cease to need him as a leader. Therefore, the development of leadership involves group activity. Number two, the development of leadership involves personal attributes and abilities which meet the needs of the current situation. The leader himself has what is needed in the situation to guide the group to the fulfillment of its task. Now, this reveals some major truths about leadership. For example, number one, leadership is a function, not a title. Leadership implies that there are followers. As someone once said, the final test of leadership is whether or not anyone is following. Leadership is not a title. Leadership is a role. You become a leader by functioning as a leader. The major characteristic of a leader in an organization is the ability to turn subordinates into followers. Number two, leadership is an art and not a science. Vance Packard, in his book, The Pyramid Climbers, wrote, In essence, leadership appears to be the art of getting others to do what you want them to do, getting others to want to do something that you are convinced should be done. Leadership is an art and not a science. Number three, leaders articulate and maintain the vision of the organization. Number four, leaders personify the vision. Number five, leaders guide to acceptance of the vision. Number six, leaders repeat the vision often. And number seven, leaders gather followers around the vision. And then number three, the development of leadership involves group attitudes, understandings, and expectations. Expectation, of course, can and do come from many sources. The followers have expectations. Superiors have expectations. Peers have expectations. Outsiders have expectations. And the leader himself has certain expectations. Modern writers in the area of leadership research have developed certain words to express various styles of leadership. Some of these would include the following. Number one, the benevolent dictator. The leader knows where the group needs to go, and he knows what needs to be done to get there. He's vitally interested in reaching the goal, for he realizes the benefits that this will bring to the group. He's kind, he's generous, he's benevolent, he's understanding with all group members, and lovingly leads them to the goal. He does all of this for he feels this is best for the group, but he's really not interested in what others within the group may say or suggest. The benevolent dictator. A second term that is used in leadership research today is one-man operator. This leader is a small business operator. He enjoys doing it all himself. He's really not interested in how others lead or having other leaders involved. If the organization grows beyond his ability, it will begin to wilt. The one-man operator. Number three, the team player. This leadership style is illustrated by the football quarterback. He knows his responsibility to call the plays in a prescribed amount of time. He plays for the good of the team, and he's not trying to become a star. The people feel that their ideas and suggestions will be acted upon. The leader feels responsible for the organization and seeks to involve all team players. A fourth item or word that is used to describe a style of leadership is the leader by compromise. He leads by getting everyone to give in a little. In this way, everyone gets something out of what they want. Number five, there is the consensus taker. This leader raises flags to see who salutes. He is known for not doing anything unless it is unanimous. A sixth style of leadership that is sometimes mentioned is the nomothetic style of leader. This leader places emphasis upon requirements of the institution and its expectation rather than the needs of the individual. The nomothetic or nomothic style of leadership. N-O-M-O-T-H-E-T-I-C. The nomothic style of leadership. Number seven. The ideographic style leader. I-D-I-O-G-R-A-P-H-I-C, the ideographic style leader. This leader concerns himself with the requirements of the individual. Number eight, there is the authoritarian leader. Leadership which focuses on the importance and control of the top man. Number nine, the laissez-faire leader. Leadership which withdraws authority and control in favor of extreme permissivism. Then, number 10, there is the democratic leader. Leadership which focuses on the group and group goals and group ideas and group decisions. And then, number 11, there is the emergent leader. Leadership which is neither elected nor appointed, but develops from among the group itself, probably as a result of the situation. Number 12, there is what has been called the transactional leader. A leader who attempts to reconcile structurally and otherwise the goals and the needs of the organization with those of the individuals who work in the organization. Transactional leaders are inclined to maintain a steady situation by the offering of rewards. They raise the consciousness of followers by appealing to higher levels, higher ideals, and moral values. They appeal to the needs and the desires of their followers. These are transactional leaders. And then, number 13, there is what is known as the transformational leader. This leadership occurs when one or more persons engage with others in such a way that leaders and followers raise one another to higher levels of motivation and morality. Their purposes, which might have started out as separate but related, become fused. Transforming leadership ultimately becomes moral in that it raises the level of human conduct and ethical aspiration of both the leader and the led, and thus it has a transforming effect on both. Transformational leadership is found in the wise use of power. It can move the organization from the present to the future in a successful way. It helps individuals achieve individual goals as well as organizational goals. Transformational leadership is a process in which leaders and followers raise one another to higher levels of motivation. It may be exhibited by anyone in the organization and can be an influence on coworkers and superiors. It moves followers to higher levels of actualization. Transformational leaders commit people to action, convert followers to leaders, and convert leaders into change agents. Transformational leaders touch us at our deepest unconscious needs and levels, such as esteem, authority, and security. Transformational leaders produce major changes. They create a new vision for the future. They enact mobilization of commitment to this new vision. They bring institutionalization of the change. This is a personal adaptation to the organization of this vision. Now, of course, this kind of process, this transformation guided by this transformational leader within the organization itself may take several years, probably not something that would happen overnight. Notice especially in your study and in your reading additional information on the transactional leader and especially the transformational leader. This brings us to the end of number 2. We're going to continue this study on number 3. We have one other style of leadership that we want to discuss, and this is what is known as the charismatic leader. So we invite you now to continue this study on number 3.